Testing. Okay.
Hi, this is Jim from Safety Wars. Before we start the program, I want to make sure everyone understands that we often talk about OSHA and EPA citations, along with some other regulatory actions from other agencies, legal cases, and criminal activity. Everyone is innocent until proven guilty. Exactly that, and they are often litigated, reduced, or vacated. We use available public records, news accounts, and press releases. We cannot warranty or guarantee the details of any of the stories we share, since we are not directly involved with these stories, at least not most of the time. Enjoy the show.
This show is brought to you by Safety FM.
And from the border of Liberty and Prosperity in the Highway to the North. This is Safety Wars for Monday, February 24th, 2024. How's everybody doing out there? We are back. We are back in New York. The beautiful town of Clarkstown and New City, where peace reigns and hatred has no home. How's everybody doing? We took a little break last week. I did two broadcasts. One of them was the February 5th Fire Commissioner meeting from LA City, from the city of Los Angeles. Pretty interesting. A lot of ducking and a lot of covering there, say the least. Anyway, we're going to talk a little bit about that now. And a whole bunch of other stuff. So here we are. Okay. Anyway, yeah, got some stuff going on here. I'm gonna make sure I'm broadcasting on Safety FM. So we're coming up on our fifth season. It's hard to believe that in the very near future. And I tell you what, can't wait. It's going to be a great thing. We're going to be... Now, so we've been upping our production stuff. Hold on. Okay, I tell you what I need to do here. Hold on for you people on Safety FM, because on the live portion, we're not coming through. Hang on. Yeah, it's for whatever reason, we're like broadcasting the regular, like if I'm not going to be on, Jay Allen has some other stuff going on. And, okay, there we go. There we are. Okay, so for you people on Safety FM joining us, it's Safety Wars Monday, February 24th. So we're going to be talking about a couple of things here today. One of them being, you know, I think I might be the only person in America that's actually, I'm going to come down. Some of you, my listeners are going to be shocked, but you shouldn't be shocked. This whole situation, we talked about it last week with the fire commissioner meeting from February 5th from L.A., right? That was the first one immediately after all these fires here with this. And I kind of like this. I do not like, even whether it's in managing safety out on a project, commenting on it, I'm kind of hard-pressed to criticize the people that actually do the work in the field. Because we all know, and we've talked about it here on other places on Safety FM, that the experts in what's going on are going to be in the field doing it, right? Whatever the job is, number one. Number two, we don't understand the context. We don't understand because at the time that they're making these decisions in the moment may seem like the right thing to do with that. Unless you have some written, you know, step A, step B, step C, step D. Really, you know, at the time, it seems like the right thing to do. Number three, the most qualified person in the chain of command for these fires was Chief Crowley. We went over the resumes of the fire commissioners and the mayor and everything. Nobody has direct experience, according to their resumes, but what's released. Nobody has direct experience in actually fighting a fire, as far as we can tell. Maybe perhaps somebody had a house fire. Perhaps somebody was in a personal emergency, maybe a workplace, something like that. Regardless, Chief Crowley was the expert here, the one who was in charge, who had actual field experience, number one. Number two, there's been a lot of commentary out there where, and I've mentioned it here, where these appear to be political payback positions or trying to virtue signal the DEI initiatives, as they've been called. I don't know if any of that's true, but that's what it seems like. A lot of these, the commissioners and maybe some people in, Chief Crowley and some of her staff, all DEI, blah, blah, blah. Okay. However, the people who you're saying, who are the firefighters, had more firefighting experience than the people managing them. Real simple. And I think the mayor got a little bit bent out of shape when Chief Crowley went to the local Fox affiliate and started saying, look, I told them about budget cuts. I told them about, we need more firefighters. We need blah, 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 blah. What are some of the things you learned from that meeting? That L.A. is severely underfunded historically. They're working like they're in the 1960s in terms of equipment, number of people, and everyone else involved here with this situation. This is long term. Nobody seeming to give a darn about fire. Hey, yeah, we have fires. What's the example I'm looking for? It's sort of like that fire extinguisher. That maybe this is a bad analogy. That fire extinguisher in your house that you have hanging up, but you never check it. Well, yeah, we got a fire extinguisher. Yeah, it's hanging up there. Oh, yeah. And then it turns out that it's not adequate for what you need, or it's broken, or it's depressurized, or any number of things going on with that. And then, oh, crap, we should have gotten another fire extinguisher. Well, why weren't you checking all along? Why weren't you getting all along, right? Well, we didn't need it. We got one. Look, how many times and then there's this thing, well, she undersold. I can't find the article here, but Chief Crowley undersold the risk to Mayor Bass. Oh, really? What have we learned here, right? If there's any criticism of Chief Crowley, perhaps this is it. Where have we heard this before? I documented this. Should sound familiar if you're a safety professional. I documented this, so therefore I made a notification. And therefore, my hands are clean. All right. Therefore, my hands are clean. Hannah Gadara Street sound familiar in the Alec Baldwin case? She was told in writing not to do her job. Guess what? She's still held responsible. Any one of our workplaces. Yeah, I told them that if they didn't wear their safety glasses, it could have an eye injury. Guess what? They didn't have their eye injury. Well, you're to blame. You undersold that. I mean, there's enough to go around here. Blame and accountability to go around here. Maybe she'll, telling the fire department, look, we're underfunded, we need more equipment, we need more people, blah, 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 blah. And the mayor says, oh, okay, whatever, and the commissioners say, whatever, we can't get that, sorry. And this goes on for 50 years before she's there and the current mayor and the current commissioners. At what point, right, at a certain point, it sounds like to the inexperienced commissioners that you're crying wolf. Oh, we never needed this capacity before. Maybe they're not using that word. Never needed it before, so we won't need it again. Nothing bad happened. Blah, blah, blah. all this stuff going on. I've heard this time and immemorial. We don't need to buy new fall protection equipment, Jim. Well, you know, it's back when they had the 5-year expiration date. They don't have that anymore on certain equipment. Well, you know what? It's ripped, it's torn, it's burned. It's already been deployed in the field. See that fall indicator? Well, yeah, but that doesn't mean anything. We don't need that. Come on. Now, what do you do? You're between a rock and a hard place. It's probably likely what the chief found herself in. A rock and a hard place. Where she's trying to say, look, I'm the expert here in fires. Her staff, regardless of why they're there, they have more experience than the commissioners and the mayor in fighting fires. That's for damn sure. Why were they ignored? That's the question that that the voters have to ask Mayor Bass here. Why it says in writing this, and this. I'm sure we could go back for over a decade. Someone really wanted a job to do because all those meetings and minutes are posted online on what happened. Why wasn't this done? Does it reach the level of criminal liability? That's my question for the mayor and for those commissioners for not allocating enough resources. What about the past commissioners? I say do an investigation, not for shame, blame, and retrain to find out what the hell happened and what were, and then we could do a case study here. Long term, and this will probably be good for someone getting a master's degree in fire science or in whatever the appropriate field to handle this in. Long term missteps and lack of funding over the last 50 years in LA and how it impacted the firefighting ability there. And I mean, this will be one hell of a study here. Hopefully, NIOSH. Like they did with our local fire here from a couple years ago. We'll do something like that with this because right now we're dealing with a number of people dead, 26 people dead, and all this other damage here. We owe it to those people who died. We owe it to the voters. We owe it to the people who lost homes, whose lives are in upheaval. And everybody else, what exactly happened here? And before we start firing people, before we start making accusations and everything else, let's find out what the hell happened. We're not interested in shame, blame, and retrain. We're interested in finding out what the hell happened here with the fire. And by the way, Chief Crowley was removed from that job, Chief, but in accordance with the rules of civil service in California, she just got demoted, so she is available for whoever the investigators are. I imagine she's on the payroll here to handle this. So basically, I'm glad to say I'm probably the only person defending this, Chief Crowley, here, because it's the right thing to do. I am defending her staff, regardless of what criticism we have, like she sent 1,000 firefighters home. Well, guess what? She has a very limited budget. These are all not people are not on salary. They're hourly employees, most of them. They're not exempt. They're not exempt from what's the word I'm looking for? They get paid overtime here. So this is costing money, and we already know that they cut the budget allegedly, and it's underfunded. Someone's got to pay for this stuff here. If she did tell the mayor and the commissioner and say, look, there's a fire risk, why did they ignore her on this? Because right now she has the most qualifications. She has more qualifications than the commissioner and the mayor to run things as far as the fire is concerned here. So why was she ignored? In your workplace, if you make a recommendation, why are you ignored? That's a valid question to ask your managers. Look, this is what this is, right? This is what this is. This is what, you know, blah, blah, blah. This is the hazard. Oh, no, we're not going to handle that. Okay, can you explain to me why? Get it in writing if you could, because you may need that if you're in a certain state like New York and New Mexico, where people get convicted of stuff on of causing fatalities. And everything, right? What, you could go to jail over this. You might need that get out of jail free card And with that, we're going to go to our first commercial break.
From the front lines of the safety war, it's Safety Wars with your host, Jim Posel on Safety FM. Get ready to face the harsh reality.
Well, sorry. Wrong button here.
In an unpredictable world, one voice rises above the chaos. Meet Jim Posel, a seasoned safety expert who's navigated through some of the most dangerous scenarios, from anthrax, explosive cleanups, disasters, and numerous environmental cleanups, and lived to tell the tale. Now he's bringing his wealth of knowledge, insights, and experiences to you through Safety Wars. From workplace hazards to the hidden dangers in your own home, Jim covers it all with his engaging storytelling. Safety Wars isn't just a podcast. It's your guide to a safer world. Join Jim Posel and become part of the Safety Wars revolution. Available on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, YouTube, and wherever you get your podcasts and videos. Safety Wars. Your safety is our mission.
Is your safety training old, stale, and hackneyed? Is your safety trainer still preaching a warped version of behavior-based safety? How about safety training that is designed to actually address and assess your hazards and liabilities and is not standardized baloney from generations ago? Contact the Safety Wars team at safetywars.com or call me, Jim Posel, at 845-269-5772. Remember, if you are receiving this message, you are the solution to unsafe workplaces. OSHA recordables, catastrophic losses, environmental disasters. You want answers? So do I. This is Jim Posel with Safety Wars.
That's my daddy!
Caught in a whirlwind, trapped but it's fine. Regulation love keeps our air pure and divine. Blindfolded by trust, we're in compliance. Heartbeats synchronized in perfect alliance. We laugh through these masks, blending our air. Oxygen of affection flowing, we dare. No need to escape when love's our confined space. Each inhale a promise, no need to chase. Breathe with me in this safe embrace. Regulated love in every space. We're certified to face every storm.
OSHA recordables, catastrophic losses, environmental disasters. You want answers? So do I. This is Jim Posel with Safety Wars.
That's my daddy!
Okay, so we are back. Now, I know I shocked the hell out of everybody with that commentary, but we're going to shock you some more. I had time to think. Right? I had time to think while I was away. So, as safety people, most of us are on LinkedIn or some other appropriate social media thing, Reddit, right? A lot on Reddit and some of the other commentary places and Facebook, safety consultants on Facebook. Join. If you're a safety professional, you can probably qualify to join. But anyway, we always talk about there's a system, behavior-based safety. Are we... human organizational performance. Are we interested in compliance? Are we here? Are we there? I got a novel idea, right? Are we into obeying the law? Well, Jim, what do you mean, obeying the law? Okay, so... Now, there's a debate. How do we motivate our management? How do we motivate these people and that people and everything else? Let's face it. In the United States, under the General Duty Clause of OSHA and all the other promulgated regulations and standards and everything else out there, we have a right to a safe and healthful workplace free of recognized hazards. Right? So it's a civil right. That's one of our rights. if you believe in natural rights like me, guess what? They come from nature. You have a right to go to work and come home in one piece. Right? Maybe a little bit more bling in your wallet. That's your right. Government has the guns. Government has the legal system. Government has the enforcement, whether it's criminal or civil. Government has all the resources to enforce those laws. And they're going to say, well, OSHA doesn't get enough budget and everything. That's irrelevant for this discussion. So they have everything there. Perhaps the people you work with, don't care about it. So you have the government with all these hammers, right? And you're the nail, or your company's the nail, and these people are not, don't care about, well, so what? Do you really think that your goodwill and good intentions is going to work on them when the government, with all its resources, can't change their behavior? I'm talking the management and the C-suite here. Are they okay with breaking law? Because I tell you what, if they're breaking federal law, they're breaking state law, maybe a municipal law, nothing that you're going to say is going to be able to influence them. You could go to our leadership pyramid that we talk about here, right? During leadership training, where you have all these little bricks that build a pyramid. We could have all that stuff at our disposal. If their decision is, well, fuck it, it's a law. I don't fuck it. What do I care? Pardon my French. No, nothing I could do. You're going to be able to manage that? Really? And I tell you what, if they're breaking that law, right, those laws and those rules and those regulations, I can guarantee that they're breaking a lot of other regulations. Land use planning, IRS, Fair Labor Standards Act. There was a case in New Jersey today from a friend of our program here. Here is what it is. There was a ruling coming out in New Jersey today. I'm not going to use the person's name, but it was in the New Jersey Law Journal. Some retailers are facing class action suits alleging managers spend time performing non-managerial tasks. So on February 4th, Dollar General Corp, right, should be familiar to us here, was named a class action suit in the Superior Court of New Jersey in Union County, alleging managerial employees classified as exempt are unlawfully required to perform non-exempt and non-managerial tasks, such as unloading trucks, stocking shelves, and cleaning stores without overtime compensation. All right. Notwithstanding this knowledge, the defendant classified plaintiffs and all executive team leaders as exempted executives in conscious disregard of their right to be paid overtime pay, which was, at a minimum, a knowing and or reckless disregard and without good cause to believe that its classification of ETLs exempt was lawful. Right? So, basically, alleges Fair Labor Standards Act, and of course, everyone's innocent until proven guilty here. So, we know that Dollar General, Dollar General had problems with OSHA. We talked about it here. You can go on the OSHA website, look up Dollar General under press releases, and you see a boatload of stuff. So, this goes to prove that if you have an issue with OSHA, you might have an issue elsewhere. And this So I don't know whether the merits are or anything, but this is allegedly what's going on here. So, no, problem area. Again, what am I saying? Often, and this may not be for Dollar General, let me make it clear. Often, they don't care about one law, OSHA, they're not going to care about another, number one. Number two, the government has full force, and they still don't care. What are your words going to do? You have to decide that as a safety professional, what you're going to do. Just something about that. Now, going on for more, what else? What else could there be said? So you might have heard, and this is all over talk radio. Let me see, Doji letter. I don't have enough here. Doji letter on employees reporting what they did last week. Right? So here we go. So Musk email, this is from MSN. Musk email requires federal employees to list five things they did last week. And so these were all sent all over. And I know for a fact nurses at the VA got this also today. They're all in uproar. So what's going on is you have to report what you did the previous week. Name five things you did. This is not inconsistent with stories you've heard about Musk. Right, the head of Doge and the head of X and all those other things. Not inconsistent because, and I heard this story years ago, a secretary wanted to get a raise. I believe it was a secretary. Says, I tell you what, don't come here for 2 weeks and let's see how we do without you. And we'll talk about a raise if we still need you. Ballsy, huh? Well, this is along the same lines. Well, tell us what you're going to do, what you did the week before. Now, they're saying, and it's got to be done by 11:59 p.m. tonight, so just under in 3 hours, 32 minutes has to be in. People are freaking out. I mean, and everything. I know people in the VA health system, they're freaking out. But let's talk about this another way. How is this different than what happens in private industry? It's a little bit different in some ways because some of that information, especially in the defense and intelligence agencies, is compartmentalized. The way that is saying on the reporting on the news is that you reported to your next in line boss. All right. A lot of times, and I've been in this situation myself. Right. Where I had somebody that was on a classified job, right? And it was building a data center in a location in the United States. Guess what? Classified and also classified, confidential, NDA and everything. So I wasn't even allowed to ask my own employee, how are things going? She says, Jimmy, you know, I can't tell you that because of class. Okay, that happens. That happens in the private industry. How's that going to be managed here in the, how's that going to be managed here with this? Number one. Number two, HIPAA laws, right? Privacy. Now if you're a healthcare worker, VA nurse, what are you going to do as far as what did you do last week? Because you're not allowed to send electronic communications of that kind of nature that way. You have to enter it into a system, and then they figure it out. That's number two. Number three, all right, there's some AI issues here. So I said, here, right? So I put in the end where people are going to use AI. They'll craft like six or seven different sample emails, and then, okay, we'll just line them up. Maybe even have them on draft and or schedule them to be delivered every Monday morning, 7 a.m. This is what I did this week, or Friday afternoon. Could do that. So here's what I did right before the program. Name five positive things I did last week. Note that I'm on vacation last week. One, Jim, you prioritize safety. You continue to focus on workplace safety by researching OSHA regulations, preparing for safety meetings. Number two, you stayed informed. You kept up with industry news, including Safety Wars and other relevant sources, ensuring you're always in the know. Number three, you're engaged in learning. Your interest in biographies and accident investigations shows you are constantly learning and expanding your knowledge. Number four, supporting loved ones, whether through conversations or simply being there. You likely shared time with Debbie and provided support. It's scary that you know my wife's name, right? Debbie, and provided support in some way. Five, maintain curiosity. Continue seeking answers to long-standing questions, like your search for the right term for self-criticism or struggle session.
All right.
Okay, so now you write that in. So, and then you're able to get a little bit deeper with the prompt and everything. This is, you know, this is what it is. What does that mean? Nothing. What I do every day. I would like to think I'm there for my wife and family. Right? I would like to. But, you know, I falter. I'm only a man. I fall short. I admit it. Just want to be a better husband and a better father, a better brother, better family member. Okay. Now, this is the other thing. Now, we're safety professionals here. What do we know about this? I know everybody's got a little giggle. Have you ever had a situation where Jim, oh, I know I have. There's a certain oil facility in New Jersey that didn't require put quotas on things, or they sort of like did put quotas on things, that sort of thing. Just like the police, a lot of police departments, there is no quota for tickets, but you know, certain times of the month that you see more police out there, sort of thing. They have targeted enforcement, what have you, at certain times. All right. You have to, what that we need are five safety audits a week. And you're like, and you're dealing with a system where you have immature people that you're reporting these to. And in this case, we know everybody is on the WUVNO list for the government. Right? So guess what they're going to say? I can see this Tuesday morning. Where's your friggin' email? Where did he have last night? Blah, blah, blah. You had to get this in. Hey, I look good. What do you think? I need your email so I can write my email as what I did last week because I supported you in doing this, this, and this. Not what I'm writing. So now we have collusion putting in there. Happens with safety audits all the time when they put a quota on there. The other thing is, well, we're not going to put anything bad on here. We're only going to put really good things that they can't question. Okay, well, what can we put up? Well, now we're going to make up some stuff. Hey, didn't you do it? Okay. All right. Now you're starting to make numbers. And when you make numbers up, you make things up, you start measuring. Now we're collecting all this data. You think they're going to use AI or another program or something to try to classify this? Or maybe say, well, this week we'll look at this area, this week, this year. We're going to start compiling all this data and everything. Do they even have a system to compile this data, or are they just using emails to get people into the habit of doing things every Monday morning? And then they're going to plug it into a program AI and figure everything out. They're going to have a naughty and a nice list. So now you're being measured. Now you're going to be manipulated. All this stuff will be manipulated. And what's going to happen? It's going to take, I predict, 3 weeks where they're going to have completely meaningless information in any of these emails. And it's just going to be an exercise in compliance. So the question is, a better question perhaps is, what the hell are they going to do with the data? How are they going to track the data? How are they going to analyze the data? You're generating all this data, and is their management mature enough to handle bad news? Because number five, principle of human and organizational performance. Number five, what is it? Your response to things matters. So I predict it's going to last 3 or 4 weeks of bullshit. And I was going to say, this is meaningless, and this is going to get dropped. Because remember, you're dealing with, even with all these 75,000 alleged furloughs, layoffs, firings, what have eliminations, what have you, you still have like another 1.9 million people to go through. What were your accomplishments? Where's that data going to go? Where are the lies? Because we know in the safety industry, when you put a quota on, so give us 5 safety audits, give 5 near miss good catches, give us this, give us that. We have a TRIR, we got to maintain, we have a DART limit. We have a DART limit, we have experience mod rate. All this stuff gets manipulated and everything else. I don't think there's a way of preventing that in the system. The only thing is, what are you going to do with the data? Right there, they're saying you're like fired or consider your resignation. I don't know if that's legal or not, right? With that, because doesn't there have to be a progressive discipline policy? And now you got the labor unions involved for all these workers who were given these orders here. And now you put the worker in a further rock and a hard place. What are you going to do? Go on strike over a 5-minute email? Really? You're going to risk and rely on your union leadership to save your job if you say, bleep it, I'm not going to do this? Or is the union going to actually stand up for you? Because I know of a case where somebody was discriminated against by the state of New Jersey on multiple levels, and the union said, well, look, don't rock the boat. Is your union going to stand up for you? You're faced with this dilemma here. So, I really don't know what to say here with any of this stuff. And that's what I have. So we had some video issues here, so I think I resolved them while we were talking here. So first day of the program, if you're getting this on video, you're going to get, the podcast portion. I don't know what to tell you on this one. We'll see how this works out, and we're going to go to our second commercial break. Is your safety training old, stale, and hackneyed? Is your safety trainer still preaching a warped version of behavior-based safety? How about safety training that actually addresses your hazards in your workplaces and is not standardized baloney from 25 years ago? Contact the Safety Wars team at safetywars.com or call Jim Pozel at 845-269-5772. Remember, if you're receiving this message, you are the solution to unsafe workplaces.
Warning, the following broadcast contains adult language, adult content, frank safety discussions, and stories that might sound unbelievable. But believe me, every one of those stories is true. We didn't start the safety war, but we are going to fight to win it. For our families, for our communities, for our workplaces, and for our lives.
Okay, so if you're joining us here... Right, and if you are watching this on a little video issue here. So the first half is going to be the podcast. So and we'll have a nice picture of me. Now, going into this, right, we're going to go, some controversial things. So we talked about my support for Chief Crowley and calling on an investigation here. We talked about Doji here. And, those are the big things, right, with the letter here. So as a recap, right, if it's measured, it's manipulated. That's all I have to say on that. If it's measured, it's manipulated. And we're not going to see anything, there. Anything useful done with this information. That's my prediction. I could be wrong, but I don't think I am. So, all right, what do we got here? Right. Again, AI is dangerous. Now, here we haven't really talked about the war here. Life update. U.S. pushes UN resolution on Russia-Ukraine war that omits mention of Moscow's aggression. It's from the Associated Press. So what the president, Trump, wants to do, apparently, is bring an end to the war here. With this, and he's willing to do it any way possible. One, because in his opinion, we're all going broke. Number two, we got to stop the killing here. So today, Trump hosted French leader Emmanuel Macron. Macron, I don't think has too much more time left in office. Trump urged Europe to take a bigger role in funding, and Paris push for more assurances from Moscow. And in a related story, they are want to put a nuclear dome, meaning France, over the EU. So the U.S. president pushes, whatever that means, keeping fighter planes with nuclear missiles there. Remember, France has nuclear warheads too here. And they were a very late comer to the EU here, so they developed their own system here, is my understanding. U.S. President Bush's desire for a deal to end the war was struck with a grim third anniversary today, Monday. He has said that this will conclude an agreement with Ukraine for its critical materials, a deal he hinted could be signed as soon as next week by Ukraine's president. There is tremendous distress on both sides, Trump said. That's why it's good that I am coming in now. But I think it's to the very much benefit of Russia to make a deal and go on with leading Russia in a very positive way, and that's what you have to do. But I really believe that he wants to make a deal. I may be wrong, but I believe he wants to make a deal. Macron was for a circumstance correcting Trump in the Oval Office when Trump said Europe supported in Ukraine with a loan. Macron warned against trusting Moscow. Let's try to get something first watch. Can be assessed, checked, and verified, he said in English. Let's be sure that we build sufficient guarantees in the short run, and this is where we are ready to be engaged. As for France, a lot of my European colleagues are ready to be engaged, but we do need this American backup because this is part of the credibility of security guarantees, and this is our collective deterrence capacity. And I have the feeling that the president has this capacity. So basically, there's talk of European peacekeepers, right, in like, say, a neutral zone or buffer zone, and everything else. But basically, 3 years, a million people dead, they're saying. I don't think we're, I don't think this is a good thing. Chinese, who have been fighting in 3 years on, Chinese have been fighting in Ukraine, speak about war. VOA conducting exclusive interviews to Chinese who have been fighting. Chinese who experienced repression in China told VOA that Ukraine cannot afford to lose this war, stating that the loss would affect Ukrainians. Right, so these are Chinese fighting for the Ukrainians. Europeans, Americans, even the Chinese who are fighting in China for basic human rights. And if this were at all legible, I'd be able to read it, but it's all in Chinese. Right? So in here, U.S. Supreme Court rebuffs free speech challenge to abortion clinic buffer zones. U.S. Supreme Court declined Monday to hear a challenge to the legality to buffer zones used to protect access to abortion clinics and limit harassment of patients, and a challenge brought by anti-abortion activists who have argued that their free speech rights were being violated. The justices turned away appeals by self-described sidewalk counselors in New Jersey and Illinois of lower court decisions to throw out their lawsuits that had claimed that the buffer zones violate free speech protections under the U.S. Constitution's First Amendment. The activists have been asking the Supreme Court to overturn 2000 ruling allowing a Colorado buffer zone. I'm seeing if... In New Jersey, a sidewalk counselor named Gerald Turco sued the city of Englewood for adopting a 2014 ordinance created an 8-foot buffer zone protecting entrances and driveways of healthcare facilities. I don't, right? I was involved in politics for many years. I don't recall this name. Usually those are very, and this also, again, agricultural industry. By the way, egg prices are going up again if they haven't already. Due to the bird flu. Okay. This is from EHS Today. Article by Phil Mollet. What changes will happen with OSHA? The answer is, long and short of it, not much. We don't have a... an administrator or anything else here. And everybody's got their pants. I don't know. I forget the name of the metaphor. I know the obscene one, but we're not going to say that. Everyone's upset, right? You look anywhere. There's the bill from H.R. 86 from... Congressman Biggs, that's, blah, blah, blah. No OSHA, they're going to get rid of OSHA. Blah, blah, blah. Well, here we go. Here we are. 1 month, 21 days into the year. And this, it was referred to the House Committee. And this is, I'm looking on the congressional website right now. They've done nothing with it. I referred up to the House Committee on Education and Workforce. So what's everybody all upset about? Let me ask this. Do you think that, and maybe this bill, again, like a common technique of negotiating and making changes is to say the most outlandish things and then try to get a discussion going. Is that what this is? Let's get a discussion going, because I tell you what, Representative Biggs from Arizona has declared his intention to run for governor of Arizona. Could that have something to do with this? Could it have something to do with Arizona and OSHA having a problem where Arizona's state OSHA was threatened? There was a threat to have it dismantled, and they came very close to that by OSHA. I don't know. We'll find out. With that, so this is from February 19th last week, an executive order. Today, President Trump signed an executive order ensuring lawful governance and implementing the president's, this is from the whitehouse.gov, President's Department of Government Efficiency Deregulatory Initiative. The executive order will end federal overreach and regulation and force them to restore constitutional separations of power. Agency heads shall, in coordination with their DOGE team-level leaders and the Office of Management and Budget, review all regulations and subject their jurisdiction for consistencies with law and Trump administration policy, prioritizing rules that impose heavy costs. A unified agenda will be developed to rescind and or modify regulations that are consistent with law or Trump administration's policy. Agencies shall utilize enforcement discretion to deprioritize enforcement actions that stretch statutory authority or exceed the constitutional powers of the federal government. There's exemptions to this order respecting military, national security, homeland security, foreign affairs, or immigration-related function. The accumulation of federal regulations that are burdensome enforcement, including legally suspect regulations that stifle economic growth, constrain America's freedom. The Biden administration imposed a historic $1.7 trillion in costs on the American people. Now, here's my question here. Makes it in general. My question is this. What specific OSHA regulations do we think need to be reformed or eliminated? I don't know. I would think, right, and with all modern regulations here, since I've been in the industry, they are supposed to do a cost-benefit analysis and everything. Where do we start here? I would probably start at seeing what the original cost-benefit analysis is, and did it pan out with the cost-benefit analysis in reality? Right? Were we able to prevent accidents, injuries, and illnesses with that rule? Is that rule ever enforced? Because right now, and I'm going to do a share screen here for everybody at home. If you're on the audio side of this, so here we have the OSHA webpage here I just shared. Let's go down to regulations. Laws and regulations. So here we have general industry. All right, let's zoom out on here. There's a lot of regulations. Which one of these are we going to eliminate? This is my question. Are we going to eliminate some of this stuff on fire protection, compressed gas, materials handling, machinery and machine guarding? Right? Hand and power. Or which one of these are we going to eliminate? And just because we eliminate them, does that mean under the general duty clause that they can't be enforced because they're a recognized hazard? I don't know. Are we going to eliminate any of the chemical substances here? I don't know. That's a good question. EPA, I can make the same argument. Which environmental laws are we going to not have? Interesting debate to have, but I would think that we would start, perhaps, with the things where the cost-benefit analysis did not work out. And we could start from there. That's the way I would do. And then figure out, can we improve on those? Can we make them easier to, can we make it easier for to comply with? How can we make it cheaper to comply with and without losing any of the ground? For how do we protect the American worker? And by extension, a lot of foreign countries, because they adopt our practices and regulations. How do we do that? How do we make things better and easier, looking out for the worker? All this stuff needs to be asked. And let's point out something when we talked about the whole lawsuit from a friend of the program here with this. Here. Right, so I asked him back, well, you know, what about, now how does this impact this press release? Let's say you're a safety professional, they want to pay you salary, which I think is, you got to be very cautious there. How does this impact you with this? And they have you doing menial jobs that are not safety related. Again, that's often what they do is, oh, we're going to make this person safety professional, but guess what? You're still going to do labor work. We're going to give you salary. Salary means that we're going to we're not going to lay you off when the project is over with. So they lay you off 2 days after the project's over with, not the same day. Right? Well, we kept you on as long as we could. Heard that a million times too. So beware. Beware, safety warriors. Yeah, so you know, which one are we going to eliminate? Let's see what else we have here. So according to NBC News, Doge will use AI to assess responses of federal workers who are told to justify their jobs. Well, I just showed you AI to that you could use it the other way. All right, this is NBC is reporting that this is all going to go into a large language model, an advanced AI system that looks at huge amounts of text data to understand, generate, and process human language. Sources said the AI system will determine whether someone's work is mission critical or not. Yeah, you know, giving them the rope to hang you. I mean, the unions have a legitimate thing here, but also the other side has a legitimate thing, so I'm like neutral here. Just beware that you're going to get a lot of baloney here. All right. Oh, what else? We're going to run through here. This is from City Journal. Article by Christopher Ruffo and Hannah Grossman. The NSA secret sex chats. Intelligence officials maintained a chat room to discuss polyamory and transgendered surgeries internal documents reveal. The intelligence community is one of the most powerful parts, and it goes on and on and on. We have cultivated sources within National Security Agency. We have provided chat labs from NSA IntelliLink messaging program. According to an NSA press official, all NSA employees signed agreements stating that publishing non-mission-related material on IntelliLink is a huge violation and will result in disciplinary action. Again, apparently, they did not enforce this. Nonetheless, these logs dating back 2 years are lurid, featuring wide-ranging discussions of all different types of stuff. We'll leave it at that. One popular chat topic was transgender surgery, which involves surgically doing blah, 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 blah. One user said, mine is everything. And said one person who claimed to have gender reconstruction surgery. I found that I like blah, blah, blah. But all the rest is just as important as well. And going, this is really graphic on here. And the other thing is this. The conflict is coming. This is the result. The NSA chat logs suggest the presence of at least hundreds of gender activists within the intelligence services who cannot distinguish between blah, blah, blah. And I think that these things are, I'm trying to clean this up here, are appropriate to discuss at work. So anyway, incredible, shocking things if this is true. Not sure. And here we'll end with this. This break from your smartphone can reboot your mood, and here's how long you need. 2 weeks, according to one study. So that's what we got for tonight. And we're doing good here. We're doing fine. We're back here, a little bit rusty. For Safety Wars, this is Jim Polzel. We're going to start with our outro and everything else, and perhaps a little bit of music.
The views and opinions expressed on this podcast are those of the host and its guest and do not necessarily reflect the official policy or position of the company. Examples of analysis discussed within this podcast are only examples. They should not be utilized in the real world as the only solution available, as they are based only on very limited and dated open source information. Assumptions made within this analysis are not reflective of the position of the company. No part of this podcast may be reproduced, stored in a retrieval system, or transmitted in any form or by any means, mechanical, electronic, recording, or otherwise, without prior written permission of the creator of the podcast, Jay Allen.
unpredictable world, one voice rises above the chaos. Meet Jim Pozo, a seasoned safety expert who's navigated through some of the most dangerous scenarios, from anthrax, explosive cleanups, disasters, and numerous environmental cleanups, and lived to tell the tale. Now he's bringing his wealth of knowledge, insights, and experiences to you through Safety Wars. From workplace hazards to the hidden dangers in your own home, Jim covers it all with his engaging storytelling. Safety Wars isn't just a podcast. It's your guide to a safer world. Join Jim Pozo and become part of the Safety Wars revolution. Available on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, YouTube, and wherever you get your podcasts and videos. Safety Wars. Your safety is our mission.
Hard hat on my head, set the alarm. High voltage love in your arms. Steel toe boots, steal my heart. Now love's a machine, start to start. Danger signs, but we don't mind. We're safety certified, hearts aligned. Locked out, tagged out, hearts entwined. You and me, we're one of a kind. Fire extinguisher, spark of desire. Emergency exits, this love's on fire. Hard hat area, yeah, we comply. Our love's the strongest reinforced supply. Our love's like gears, it turns so true. Turbines of passion spinning with you. Mechanical love, it's built to last. Safety first, roll that's moving fast. Romance, it's OSHA approved. Love that's steady, never misused. Red tape barriers can't keep us apart. Love evolves, safety from the start. Danger signs, but we don't mind. We're safety certified, hearts aligned. Locked out, tagged out, hearts entwined. You and me, we're one of a kind. Worksite romance, it's OSHA approved. Love that's steady, never misused. Red tape barriers can't keep us apart. Love evolves, safety from the start. Worksite romance, it's OSHA approved. Love that's steady, never misused. Red tape barriers can't keep us apart. Love evolves, safety from the start.